Know that with Jesus, we're ready. No matter what may come our way, we're ready. Let's go to Galatians 5 this morning. And we're going to be reading there, starting with verse number 16. Galatians 5, starting with verse 16. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary the one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would. But if you be led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another. Amen. So this morning we're going to look at these two modes of existence. We've talked about them. We mentioned a little bit last week as we were talking about what it meant to, really not using our liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but remember what Paul told us there, but by love serve one another. And this will probably be in our study here in Galatians the last time. I won't promise that, but I know we've looked at this a couple different times, but just dealing with the text here, when we're talking about what it means to live in the Spirit and to live or to live after the flesh. So we're just kind of comparing those two modes of existence here this morning. And we as believers, we know, we that have served the Lord at any length of time, and I hope we've learned that, it is the Holy Spirit, is the Holy Ghost that really is the key to our Christian life. Man, that's the key. It's that we must have the Spirit of God in us. And Jesus promised that even to his disciples there when he was promised, told him that he had to go away. But he said, I'm leaving, but it's expedient for you that I go away. So expedient being to their benefit. He said, because if I go not away, the Comforter will not come. But he said he would send the Comforter to them, and that Comforter would guide them into all truth. So, when we are saved, when we surrender our lives to Christ and the Spirit of God takes up residence in the life of a believer, it is our resource. It is the resource. It is the power. It is the energy for our life. It is that which brings forth the fruit that we're going to look at this morning. And that a life controlled by the Spirit of God, we that are walking in the Spirit of God, will bring forth fruit. That the Spirit of God just brings fruit out of our life. Now, and so when we think about that on an individual basis this morning, each one of us, as we walk in the Spirit of God, that we are bringing forth fruit, but also even let's think about it on a corporate level this morning, that we as a body of Christ, we as a church this morning, particularly we as Bread of Life Fellowship, even though that we know that the church is much bigger than this small group here this morning. It is a many-membered body. But let's think about our church here today that, if we are walking in the Spirit, that there's things that we're going to see that's going to come forth from the fruit of Spirit. Now, it's interesting to see how Paul, when he's referencing the works of the flesh, he calls them works. I've got that highlighted in my scripture. It's the works of the flesh, or that which just naturally comes out of the flesh, or those that live in the flesh. And now, I know we mentioned that last time, but there are a couple different ways when you think about these, the contrast between these two modes. When Paul here first mentions that of the flesh. Let's stay with the context here in Galatians, that he, as those that had come in and were emphasizing a works-based justification or a salvation, that there were certain things dealing with circumcision and different ordinances that they had to do to be saved. And Paul kind of summed that up just with that word in circumcision. And he deals with that in Romans 2. And we're probably going to look at that a little bit this morning as well. So, you know, when we think about the flesh here, it's not just when we think about sinful things, but it's also the works of the flesh or the things that we are able to do or not able to do by our own strength and by our own ability. That when we think about our life for God, from the very beginning of time, even all the way back to the garden, it was God's plan that man would rely completely and solely upon him in their life. At no point was man's ability going to come from within himself. That's where the world goes wrong even today, is that people look for their refuge. They look for their ability to cope within themselves. And in reality, you're not going to find it there. Amen. There is, I don't know, I'm not trying to be critical or sound critical this morning, but it's wrong when we bring people into a church building and we try to convince them that they of themselves are okay. They're good. You're all just, you know, a bunch of butterflies, and you know, you just got to find your place and you're going to be okay. You're okay. I'm okay. And all that. In reality, you're not okay. And you're not able to overcome of yourself. And God has called us and has provided for us the strength through his Spirit that we might overcome. Jesus summed it up. It's what we're going to look at this morning here in Galatians and even in Romans is this. He summed it up with just one little phrase one night when he was with his disciples in the garden there at Gethsemane before his passion, before his suffering. And he had called a few of his disciples apart to pray. And he went back to them and they were there and he found them asleep. And he'd wake them up and said, "Pray that you enter not into temptation." And he'd come back again. There they were asleep. And he told him this. He said, "The flesh indeed is willing," or "the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak." So all that we're looking at this morning, Jesus just kind of sums it up with one little phrase. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. So the weakness comes through the flesh or through that mode, through those that would seek their own righteousness, their own justification through that of the flesh. So here in Galatians, when we're talking about the flesh, it really stands for the moral and religious efforts of man in his own quest for life, and not merely of one's following one's sensual or passions, not just one following their own desires, but what we will see that what comes from the flesh are these works that come from those that would seek after the flesh. Look what Paul says. And this really is our key verse this morning, Galatians 5 and 18. "But if ye be led of the Spirit," if ye be led of the Spirit. So we're talking about walking in the Spirit this morning. Now, let's not confuse that with us being, you know, really up in some stratosphere and walking around all the time with our head up in the clouds and thinking, you know, "Oh, I'm in the Spirit." It's much more basic than that. It's a lot more, you know, because I remember when I was a kid, I knew this verse, and I had this idea of, you know, what does it mean to walk in the Spirit, Lord? Do you want me walking around speaking in tongues all the time and, you know, walking on water and all these things? But it's just more real to life, that this is something that we can take with us on our job. Now, you know, you can speak in tongues on your job if you want to, but the boss probably ain't going to like it a whole lot after a while, and you might get locked up. But the point of walking in the Spirit is this, that you can do it in Walmart. You can do it when you go into the gas station, walking in the Spirit. And it means this, that we aren't relying on our flesh, that we're not relying on our own strength, but we're relying on the Spirit of God to get us through this life. Amen. To get us through our trials, to get us through the hardships we might face, to get us And most of all, to direct our steps. Amen. God, that the Spirit would lead us, that we would be we live and walk in a Spirit-filled life, seeking life according not to the law of to the flesh or to the old mode, but that we are according to this new that we have in Christ Jesus. The new covenant. That's where we're at. We're in the new. Now, it's been around a while. Man, it started all the way back in that first century. And we're in it today. And I sometimes think that, you know, because when we come through salvation, when we're saved and we surrender our lives to Jesus, that we do find this inner strength. We do find the Spirit of God that's directing our steps. It's sometimes hard for us to read the Old Testament scripture, or it is for me anyway, to relate to that mode. I read it sometimes, and I read, you know, the Psalms or even the Proverbs and the words of David and the prophets and all of that, because this Spirit walk was promised way back then. And we've read the verses. We've looked at them. Ezekiel promised it. Through the prophet Ezekiel spoke about a time when the Spirit of God, when he would not write his words on tablets of stone, but he would write it upon our hearts. Amen. So that's all we've known since we've been saved. I never adhered to a law gospel in a sense of reading a tablet of stone and say, okay, with everything within me, I'm going to try to achieve this and walk in this. The only way I knew is one day I went to an altar of repentance and the Spirit of God changed my life. Amen. It created us new. That we're part of this new creation in Christ Jesus. That we are a new creature. A new creature. Now think about that term for a minute, creature. What does it mean to be a creature? We talk about creatures, you know, we look in the woods, there's creatures in the woods. Shell had a creature fall on her yesterday. She's in the shed working there or getting the dog out, and she's walking under the shed and felt something fall down on top of her head and hit her on the shoulder and fall on the ground. And lo and behold, it was one of them black, long, 6-foot creatures about yay big around. And she felt the Spirit moving in her feet, she said. She got excited and jumped over the lawnmower there and got out. Well, that's a creature. Now, what that term creature means, it means it's a created thing. So when the world uses the term creature, you and I are creatures according to the flesh. It means we were created. You're not a machine. You're not a machine that can be tweaked and changed to something that you prefer. You are a created being. You have a designer. You are a creature. And so just as we are creatures according to the flesh, in the sense that God made us, fearfully and wonderfully we are made. Amen. These natural bodies are amazing things. Man, the way God has made us, it's remarkable. Amen. When people start, you know, I listen to a lot of debates and those that would debate an agnostic or an atheist. I was listening to one this past week. It was a minister, I can't think of his name now, but he had such a great way about him when he was debating Christopher Hitchens, which he was a noted atheist within the last. He actually died back in 2011, I think. And I heard the guy before, and I'd read some of his stuff before. And I didn't really like him, obviously, for obvious reasons, because he was an atheist, and he came really hard against the faith. Against those in believers, in religion in general. I mean, he'd debate anybody. He'd debate a Muslim. He'd debate whatever. It didn't matter to him. But particularly, he came to come strong against the Christian faith. And I was listening to this minister. I think he was a Presbyterian minister. And he had such a great spirit about him. And it was like watching them two together. There was something about Christopher Hitchens, which I'd never cared for before, that was just all of a sudden unguarded because this man's spirit. I watched the whole thing, and it was like I watched him become unguarded because the spirit of this preacher, of this pastor. And the whole point was that when he gets down to the end of it, this debate, part of the show was them off, camera too, in a sense, but, you know, they were obviously being videoed, but was this discussion they were having kind of off to the side between themselves. And Christopher Hitchens made the comment, said, there's one thing I can never get past that must be dealt with, and that is the intricacies of the design. He said, it's hard to get past that. He said, you've got to deal with that when you see the world and just how precise it is made. And he says, that's something that, you know, if I'm going to be true to my atheism, then I've got to look at that. And it was something about that. I think I was sharing it with Dan this past week when I got to the end of this program. And there was another guy, another noted atheist of the same time, a contemporary of Christopher Hitchens. And I can't think of his name right now, but he's very aggressive, very hateful man. And he asked Christopher Hitchens, says, if you could get down to the very end, if you could get to the very last Christian and you convinced the whole world that this is just nothing to it, he said, would you try to everything within you to convince that last one that there was no God? And Christopher Hitchens looked at this pastor and he said, you know what I told him? He said, I told him, no, I would not. He said, I don't know why. He said, but I wouldn't. And for some reason, when I listened to that, I couldn't help but think of the Apostle Paul when he stood before that king. And the king told Paul, he said, almost thou hast persuaded me to be a Christian. See, there was something in the life of that pastor that the time that they had spent together. Now, this pastor, yeah, they debated and they went at each other pretty aggressively when they were on the stage. But when they were off to the side, you could tell that this pastor reached out to him in love and compassion. Now, I don't know, Christopher Hitchens, he died in 2011 of cancer. I don't know how he left this world, but I'll tell you one thing. His life was somehow impacted by this pastor. Why? Because of the spirit that was in him. Now, there's something about the spirit. There's something about the spirit of God in man. Look, if you will, now I know I'm kind of getting ahead of myself, but I want you to look of the fruit that comes forth from a spirit-led life. Listen to it. Listen to these words this morning. Love. Joy. Peace. Long-suffering. Gentleness. Anybody convicted yet this morning? Goodness. Faith. Meekness. Temperance. Against such there is no law. Look at that this morning. We're talking about a spirit-led life. We're talking about walking in the Spirit of God. See, it's not about walking around in tongues all the time. It's not about even shouting the aisles. Now, I'm not trying to belittle that. I appreciate that as much as anything. I'll pray in the Spirit. I'll shout. If the Spirit of God moves me to shout, I'll run an aisle quick as anybody. But in reality, the spirit-led life is a life where the fruit is coming forth from that life. Now, there's something you're going to notice. Now, we're looking at individual basis here, but we're also looking for us as a body here this morning, the Bread of Life Fellowship. There's one thing you're not going to find in the fruit of the Spirit, and that's division. That's contention. That's malice. Separate groups here or there. See, we've got to guard ourselves against that. I know we're a small group, but that doesn't matter. We want the Spirit of God working in the hearts of the saints of God. Because it's that will reach the Christopher Hitchens of the world. Amen? It's that. God, help us as a body, as a church. And let's take it outside the doors here this morning. Okay? Because we are a small group here. There's 25, 30 people here this morning. 25 maybe. Okay, surely 25 people can get along. Surely 25 people can have peace. We got to go outside the doors because the body of Christ goes outside these doors. Amen? It's a many-membered body. I appreciate the effort that the pastor there in Prospect was making this week. I kind of threw it on a lot of the folks that come to our Wednesday night service, our Bible study, that at the last minute I found out about this service, so I made a few phone calls. Hey, guys, you all want to go up here to this service? And we did. We went up there, and I appreciated what he was trying to do. Now, there were some differences there of how I would have done things or seen things, or, you know, there were some things there I may not have liked. But I understood what that man was trying to do. He was trying to say, and this was a quote-unquote black church. And I'm not talking about the color on the outside walls. I'm talking about inside. I'm sorry, that's what we grew up calling black church, white church. This is what we did. But it was this, that the kingdom of God, there's neither Jew nor Greek. There's neither bond nor free. But there's one body. Amen? That God has made us all one. And so we, as the body of Christ, want the spirit, the fruit of the spirit working even outside of our doors this morning. I mean, even outside of this place. But let's do our part to reach out and see that there be unity. Now, I don't want to have to qualify this morning. I don't think you guys need me to, because you understand that there are things that do divide. I mean, doctrine divides. But there are also some things that are most surely believed among us. And so often we divide over the smallest of the minute details. The things that, you know, when we think about Jesus Christ and him crucified, when we think about there's only one way, I will not fellowship with a group that says that Jesus Christ is not the Son of God and he is not the only way into the Father. I will not, and we won't. And I know I don't stand alone in that. But there are some things that we allow to divide that in reality they're just things that, you know, none of us are even that sure of or that certain of. Now, there are some things. I love the way Luke says it there. There are some things that are most surely believed among us. I love that. Meaning what? That there are some things that without a doubt we are unmovable on this. This is it. This is the unmovable facts that Jesus Christ is the only way. That Jesus, matter of fact, Jesus said, unless you believe that I am he, you're going to die in your sin. Amen? I am he. I am the one that should come. I am the one that the prophet spoke of. That I believe that. Now, there's groups out there, I won't start calling names this morning, but there's certain religions, certain people that will deny that fact. See, we can't have fellowship with that. They'll deny that Jesus Christ was the one. Well, that separates us. But there are some things that we are surely believed and that we are unmovable on. And I'm glad to know that it is that spirit of God that works through us. God brings this out of our life, Lord. It starts with one individual right now. Let's look at our life and say, Lord, God, let love come forth from your spirit. Lord, let your joy, the joy of the Lord is our strength. Lord, let your peace. Amen. God, bring us peace. Peace. What does that mean, peace? I guess it means it's the absence of turmoil, in the sense that even in the midst of a storm, there can be peace in our life. Peace no matter what comes our way. No matter what trial. And we will. No matter what loss. Let me add that. Why? Because you're going to suffer loss in this life. You're just going to. You're going to lose a loved one. It's just going to happen. You know what? The Spirit of God can bring peace even in that. Why? Especially if that loved one is a believer. Because why? Because you know that in reality that's what we're all living for. You know, when you think about that, I mean, it just, if they're a believer, then they've got their ultimate reward and probably wouldn't come back if they could. Long suffering, we don't need to really define that. We know what that is. But just the one, meekness, temperance. Temperance is just that. It's just self-control, being able to control the flesh and desires of the flesh. Now, if you go back over and look at that works of the flesh, you'll find the things that really that we mentioned are not, clearly not given to us as a fruit of the Spirit. It says, now the works of the flesh are manifest, or they're made known, they're clear. And it's these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, adultery, witchcraft, hatred, variance, seditions, or emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envy and murders, drunkenness, revelry, and such like. Covers it all. Now, Jesus says it this way to us. And we're talking about the fruit, right? We're talking about the fruit of the Spirit. We're talking about walking in the Spirit, this Spirit way of life. We found it all the way back in the Old Testament Scripture where God spoke through the prophets and said, I'm going to put in them a new spirit, create a new heart and a new spirit. We find Jesus when he, I guess it's there in John, when he comes into contact with Nicodemus and tells Nicodemus, you must be born of the water and of the Spirit. He told the woman that he met there at Jacob's well that true worshipers must worship him in spirit and in the truth. So the prophet Joel prophesied of the day, in the last days I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. Peter stood up on the day of Pentecost there when they were, those around were watching them and thinking that they were drunk with wine wherein is excess. But yet Peter says, oh no, these aren't drunk as ye suppose. But this is that which was spoken of by the prophet Joel. In the last days I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. This is that. He said that this is the Spirit being poured out. And so we understand that it is the Spirit of God, the living by the power of the Holy Ghost. When we talk about walking in the Spirit, we're talking about living and walking in the power of the Holy Ghost. Listen how Jesus puts it over here in John. Let's read there. I love this passage over here. In John there, in John chapter 15, listen to how he puts it to us this morning. John 15, I'll just read there, and let's just let Jesus preach to us this morning from these words here in John. John 15:1 says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away, and every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. And he says, now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit, for without me, you can do nothing. Amen. How many in here this morning, I know I'm not alone in this, how many want to bring forth fruit? Amen. I see hands up all over this building. We want to bring forth fruit in our life. And how do we do that? Is it from our fleshly efforts? Is it from what we can do, what we can accomplish? You know, I see the love. I see the joy. I see the peace. I see the list. I read the list. We just read the list. We looked at it. So now let's go out here and let's roll up our sleeves and let's have a go at it. Let's say, God, here, oh, I got love. I'm going to love. Oh, I got to have joy. I'm No, this is a joy that springs forth from one that is attached to the vine. That abides in me, he said. If you abide in me, and my word abide in you. And so if we want to bring forth fruit of our life, it's not that we leave these buildings and say, okay, I'm going to show love this week. You might make it till Tuesday. Maybe. I'm going to be patient. And you might get to the end of this road and, you know, before too long somebody's done pulled out in front of you or something, and then there goes the patience. But if we walk in the Spirit, amen? He says if we live in the Spirit, let us walk in the Spirit. This is a spirit realm. This new creation in Christ Jesus is that of the Spirit. And so it's the Spirit of God that dwelling in us. And he says, if you abide in the vine, it you cannot bear fruit of yourself. Not going to be able to, this walking according to the flesh isn't going to get it done. trying to get it done in the flesh. Matter of fact, Paul makes it very clear when he's referencing there, I guess it's in Romans chapter 7, when he's talking about that flesh experience. And he starts saying all this thing. Let's look there, Romans chapter number 7. He's talking about here in Romans 7, "Know ye not, brethren, for I speak to them that know the law, how that the law hath dominion over a man as long as he liveth." And then he uses the example of a woman and a husband. That, well, for the woman which hath an husband is bound by the law to her husband so long as he liveth. But if the husband be dead, she is loosed from the law of her husband. So then if while her husband liveth, she be married to another man, she shall be called an adulteress. But if her husband be dead, she is free from the law, from that law, so that she is no adulteress, though she be married to another man. He's using that as an example of this. He says, "Wherefore, my brethren, ye also are become dead to the law by the body of Christ, that ye should be married to another, even to him who is raised from the dead, that we should bring forth fruit unto God." All right, so then he says this, "For when we were in the flesh," that mode, "the motions of sin, which were by the law, did work in our members to bring forth fruit unto death." So the fruit of the flesh, I would say, is probably the same works of the flesh that we looked at over there in Galatians chapter 5. So we don't have to really go through that list again. But he says, "For when we were in the flesh, the motions of sin," that word motions there actually means the sufferings or anguish or the pain. So he says, "When we were in the flesh, the motions of sin, which were by the law, did work in our members to bring forth fruit unto death. But now we are delivered from the law, that being dead wherein we were held, that we should serve in newness of spirit and not in the oldness of the letter." Paul says, when I was in the flesh, when I was living according to the letter or according to the law, he says it just kept bringing me into bondage. It kept bringing death. Matter of fact, here later on, and I think it's in Corinthians there, when he starts talking about that ministration of death and how that the law just continually brought death to him. But then, listen, here he says this, "But now we are delivered from the law, that being dead wherein we were held, that we should serve in newness of spirit and not in the oldness of the..." See, the Spirit of God comes in and takes residence, and we're different. We're different. Now, there's a lot of debate that goes on in the church world. Maybe I should just quit listening to this stuff because it really aggravates me, some of it especially. But just about how, you know, our salvation and whether we're secure in our salvation and whether we can sin or how we should live. And the whole point is this, that it's a new spirit, see? We're new. Our desires are different. Amen? We no longer want to walk according to the flesh. Now, we no longer want to be held in the bondage of sin. Now, I don't know how they got saved, but I remember when I first got saved. I mean, it was a change. Man, there's been a change in me. I'm not the one I used to be. Old things are passed away. All things are made new. There's been a change in me. Amen. Amen. God help us to preach here at Bread of Life Fellowship that the Spirit of God makes a change in the life of an individual. That creature made in the image of God, but now is a new creature. The created, the very one that gave us the life in the first place, is the same one that now we dwell in this new creation in Christ Jesus. When we start making that comparison in Scripture, it's amazing. I mean, you think about the first creation, we got Adam. We got that all creation because of the sin of one Adam are under death. But now in this new creation, we have another Adam. We have another Adam, and it's Jesus, the second Adam. And now because of the righteousness of one man, Jesus, we all no longer under the sin, but now we're made new, and we have life abundantly in Christ Jesus. Amen. Now our figurehead has changed. No longer are we in Adam, we're now in Christ. Amen. The Spirit. He says, look how he put it there. He says that we would serve in newness of spirit and not in the oldness of the letter. But then he says, what shall we say then? Is the law sin? God forbid. He said, nay, I would not known sin, but that the law, but for the law. For I had not known lust, except the law had said, thou shalt not covet. But sin, taking occasion by the commandment, wrought in me all manner of concupiscence. For without the law, sin was dead. For I was alive without the law once. But when the commandment came, sin revived and I died. And the commandment, which was ordained or given for the purpose of life, I found to be death. For sin, taking occasion by the commandment, deceived me, and by it slew me. So the law, the problem wasn't with the law, right? And we've looked at this throughout the study in Galatians, even though we're in Romans here. The problem was the flesh, the weakness of the flesh. The law was good. I mean, the commandment was good. But the problem was, so the law wasn't given so that man would sin. The law was given to reveal the sin, to bring us to Christ. The law's purpose was to bring man unto Christ. And so Paul says that the law, sin took occasion by the law. Wherefore the law is holy, and the commandment holy and just and good. Was then that which is good made death unto me? God forbid, but sin, that it might appear sin, working death in me by that which is good, that sin by the commandment might become exceedingly sinful. For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin. Then he goes into that whole dialogue of what I allow not, that I would do, I would, that I, do I not, but what I hate, that do I. And I've heard this preached, and it just kind of makes my skin crawl every time that, you know, this is Paul's everyday existence, even in the new covenant. I seriously have a problem with that. Because here's what he says here. Oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me? Where's our deliverance this morning? It's in Jesus. Amen? Then he goes into 8:8. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. Listen to what he says. Who walk not after the flesh, but walk after the Spirit. Amen. We're not walking according to the law in the sense that we're trying to obtain our own righteousness through our own efforts, but we're walking according to the Spirit. And there is therefore now no condemnation. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. Amen. Let's go back to Galatians. There's a whole lot we could look at there in Romans, but we're actually trying to study Galatians here. As we look here, he says, if we live in the Spirit, verse 25, let us also walk in the Spirit. And we do that, Lord. And I'm still learning this in my own life, God, that allow the Spirit of God, just surrender to the Spirit of God in our life. And say, God, you control me. You abide. He told the disciples there that were gathered around, even many that were following Jesus, he says this. He told them, he said, unless you eat my flesh and you drink my blood, you have no part in me. Now, you can imagine the looks he got that day. Because when you start talking about eating flesh and drinking blood, you're going to get some looks. Many of them went away and followed him no more. Why? Because that was a hard saying. Now, he wasn't obviously telling them to sit down and eat his flesh and drink his blood, but he was saying this. It's like, I think Sister Mona was talking earlier. This is a holy and complete following of Jesus Christ. It's not just a little bit. It's not little Jesus and a little something else. Little spirit and a little flesh. This is a complete spiritual walk with God. And that we just say, Lord, we are not of those that have confidence in the flesh, but Lord, it's by your Spirit. And God, we're going to leave here this morning not trying to do better, not trying to walk straighter, but we're just going to try to abide in the vine. Amen. Abide in the vine. He says, if my words abide in you, you abide in me, and my word abide in you. So we put the, how do we abide in the vine this morning? There's some very natural things we can do to abide in the vine. It's not that we just say, okay, I'm abiding in the vine. I mean, what we're doing here, these are spiritual matters here this morning. Why? Because we've come together because the Lord has commanded us to do so. And we're saying, God, let your Spirit have its way. Let your Spirit move, God. We walk out these doors, Lord. Lead us by your Spirit wherever we go. Give us words to say. And God, help your Spirit to bring the fruit out that's really going to reach our world. Amen, that's really going to reach our world. I was pulled up to a gas station yesterday evening, and I had to get a propane tank for our grill. So I ran out to Tom's, and when I pulled up, there was this carload of young kids come in. Very, very, very loud. I don't know what was going on, but it was bad. And I just saw lostness. I saw people just wandering. It's kind of what would come to my mind when I saw these young people. And I thought, Lord, there's so many of our young people out there today that are just in that shape. You're trying to blame the government. You're trying to blame your situation, your neighborhood, your raising, whatever. But in reality, it's you have lost. You have not found your way. And they need a church. They need a world of believers to show them the way. And I was just praying, God, help us to be that one. Lord, help me. Amen. Help me to be that one that can show that we're meant more than more for just living after the flesh. Man, that we're not just like a bunch of animals. We're made in the image of God. There's nothing that no other creature, whether the Bible speaks of, that's made in the image of God. God put the life, the breath of life in man. And really, until we're glorifying God, we're living way below our beings, aren't we? Young people, that's why you put on this earth. Glorify God in your members. Man, let the Spirit of God work in our lives. Walk in the Spirit, he said, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Walk in the Spirit. Works of the flesh, Paul says, I tried that, and it fooled me, and I died. But now, in Christ Jesus, we're made alive. Aren't you thankful for life this morning? Amen. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you, Lord, for your word today. God, we do thank you for, Lord, your Spirit that has been given to us, God. Lord, that you did send the Comforter, Lord God. It's that same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead. God, that same one. Lord, that same Spirit that spoke the world into existence. God, we are so thankful for it today. And Father, it is our desire, God, that your Spirit would just work through us, God, and just as we abide in the vine this morning, Lord, as we draw close unto thee, Father, that we dwell and live in you, God, that the Spirit would just bring forth fruit of out of our life, and that, Lord, it's not, it doesn't bring forth self-righteousness, it doesn't bring forth pride, haughtiness, all these things, God, that's the flesh. Lord, but the Spirit brings peace. The Spirit brings meekness. The Spirit brings joy. Lord, it's those things. Even in the midst of trials, God, you've promised in your word, Lord, that we could see the joy of the Lord. Father, we pray, Lord, these things will be manifest in our life and in the church, God, in your body, to our world today. We thank you for your word, God. We ask it in Jesus' name we pray. Amen, amen. Let's all stand to our feet this morning as shall we sing a song. Thank you, Lord.